welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, July 17th from CTT headquarters in Greenville. Beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. Very hot Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Martin. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'll be talking about the latest batch of news. Of course, at the end of the episode, I'll be doing the comic predictor with a nice chunk of books that I recommend you pick up tomorrow on New Comic Book Day. Of course, I do want to kick off a little bit with the news. And, you know, it's the weekend before San Diego Comic-Con, so of course, news is a little bit dry, but there have been some really great announcements this week that I want to talk about. The one that I'm really excited about, and also a little upset about, is the announcement that Spencer and Locke 2 will be coming out. This is a book that I talked about quite a bit not too long ago. I want to thank Ronnie for introducing me to this book. Basically, it's a grown-up adventures of Calvin and Hobbes. But it's not Calvin and Hobbes. It's Detective Locke and his imaginary maybe friend Spencer, who's a giant panther, and the adventures that they go on. And the first volume was absolutely amazing. Probably one of my favorite books that I've read this year. I highly recommend you pick this up. This came out from Action Lab Danger Zone. Let me see. I think it was middle of last year. Absolutely brilliant book. And finally, they've announced Volume 2 is coming out. And I've been eagerly anticipating the announcement for this because I love the first series so much. The writer is David Pappose. The artist is Jorge Santiago Jr. And colors by Jason Smith. Letters by Colin Bell. This book will be coming out. What I'm a little upset about is that it's coming out winter of 2019. That's like a year and a half from now, guys. What is happening? I'm glad that these guys are taking their time with it. I know that Jorge's been working on the art. Matter of fact, when I saw him at, where did I see him? At Heroes Con not too long ago. What's that? Last month? And, he was doing up some work on that stuff. And I got to see a couple of sketches. So very excited for it. I absolutely love the book. I highly recommend you go and check out the first volume of it. I'll have David and Jorge on the podcast at some point. I want to wait until all the San Diego Comic-Con craziness dies down before we do that. But very excited for that. So look forward in 2019. I guess maybe you can tell you shop now. I don't know if they can order it for you. But at least put it in your calendar. And maybe you'll remember next year. You'll have a nice little surprise when the book actually comes out. But brilliant, brilliant stuff. It's going to be introducing a new villain. The first volume dealt a lot with Locke and his relationship to his dad, who's kind of a mob boss. This new one's going to feature a new villain, Roach Riley, and it's going to play a lot upon comics that we loved as kids, comic strips, and how that is connected to the overall story in Spencer and Locke, because of course Locke has a lot of mental issues and sees a lot of weird things, including his giant panther friend. So very excited for that. Be sure to put it on your pull list. I'll tell you shop about it, and I'm sure they'll know to order it for you. If you go over to the DC front, there's some big news over at DC. The first one I want to talk about is G. Willow Wilson taking over Wonder Woman with issue number 58. Now, Wonder Woman, I've kind of dropped off for a little while. I do plan on catching up at some point. I'm still getting it, but I think I'm probably about 4 or 5 issues behind right now in Wonder Woman. Very excited to have G. Willow Wilson on. Of course, this was teased in the DC All Access video that came out last week. I know I shared that on Twitter a little bit. And then the formal announcement was made, I want to say Wednesday or Thursday. But really excited to have her on. Of course, she's been at Marvel for quite a while. And she's been doing Ms. Marvel over there, which I think is a brilliant Marvel title. I really dig that book. I don't ever talk about it because, you know, she's been on that book for so long. Yeah, I'm very excited to see what she can do with Wonder Woman, in particular because I think a lot of people know G. Willow Wilson mostly from, I guess we could say, doing YA stuff. Ms. Marvel is kind of a YA title, but it's really brilliant in the kind of things that it does, the way that it tells stories. And joining her on art for Wonder Woman is going to be Kerry Nord, an artist which I absolutely adore. Of course, he did a brilliant run on Conan. Was that for Marvel? I think that was when Marvel was doing it. Maybe not. Somebody let me know what publisher that was. But he did a run on Conan that was brilliant. Of course, he took over X-Men Manowar with Robert Venditti writing over at Valiant. And that was absolutely incredible as well. I love Kerry Nord's art and art style. And I think it's going to be a great fit for Wonder Woman. It almost seems like maybe he's a little typecast though, you know? Because, I mean, I could see the transition from Conan to X-O to Wonder Woman. So very excited for it though. He really does bring this type of book, this like sword and sorcery type stuff, I guess. He does it extremely well, so I'm excited to see what he does. It's interesting though, because as far as I know, he's not a very quick artist, so I don't know how it's going to work for a bi-weekly book. I guess maybe this is going monthly now. I'm not quite sure. I should probably figure that out and catch up on it. But I'm very excited to see how it goes. And it's going to be a brand new arc. It's going to bring Ares back into the fold. And there's some mysteries as to why Ares is back on Earth and not on Themyscira anymore. So I'm excited to see that. I know Dan Didio was very excited in that DC All Access video that I watched. So I can't wait to see how this goes. And for anyone worried about, well, what about Ms. Marvel? Apparently she's not leaving Marvel. So I don't know how contracts work in comics anymore. It's pretty crazy. But I guess they're allowing her to do, two pretty big books at two obviously large publishers. So I'm excited for that. Look for that coming out in November. While still on the DC front, if we go over to movie news, there's some very exciting movie news. I know everyone's been abuzz about this, but it has been revealed what the cast of the Birds of Prey movie will be. And by cast, I don't mean like the actual actors and actresses. I mean the characters. And of course, this is a movie being helmed by Margot Robbie, who played Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad film. Of course, Harley will be involved in this film. And the Birds of Prey is going to be a little bit of a different team. It's going to be starring Black Canary, the Huntress. I love the Huntress. Cassandra Cain, which I think is a really interesting choice. Cassie's been a big part of the detective over the last, 30, 40 issues, whatever long that's been running since Rebirth. And I'm excited to see her joining a big movie like this. And of course, Renee Montoya, who I absolutely love. She's one of my favorite all-time supporting Batman cast members. Matter of fact, I think she might be the best Question also, if you're familiar with The Question. But really excited to see where this movie goes. It's being written by Christina Hodson, who is the same person writing the Batgirl film for Warner Brothers in DC. So I think that's a pretty good pedigree to have on there. Of course, we haven't seen anything about the Batgirl movie, and we don't know how this will turn out, but I hope that DC has learned its lessons from some of the misgivings of the previous bunch of movies. I know there's a poster reveal for Aquaman this week that I'm excited for as well. But I hope that DC has figured out how they want to move forward into their DC universe, the movie universe. And I think this is really interesting. An all-female cast, really heavy hitter characters, really interesting characters as well. And I think this will end up being a great team. So looking forward to seeing how this goes. No release date on this movie yet, but, I would assume probably in another year or two, we'll be seeing this one. Very excited to see Renee Montoya on film. And I know many of you listening are as well. Last bit of DC news. There's going to be some more DC Hanna-Barbera books, and I'm not surprised because Dan Didio loves some Hanna-Barbera stuff. Matter of fact, he's writing one of the books. He's going to be writing the Superman Top Cat special number one with art by Shane Davis, and I'm not very familiar with Top Cat, but that's pretty interesting. There's also going to be a Nightwing Magilla Gorilla special number one written by Heath Corson with art by Tom Grummett. There's going to be a Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound special with John Stewart as a Green Lantern. This is set in the 70s, immediately after the end of the Vietnam War. And, of course, John Stewart is a Vietnam vet, so that should be pretty interesting. That's Mark Russell, who, of course, did The Flintstones, brilliant book, and Rick Leonardi on art. Very excited for that one. The one that I'm most eagerly anticipating is the oddest choice, and that is Deathstroke Yogi Bear Special Number 1, written by Frank Thierry. And I guarantee you, he probably pitched this. Frank is the kind of guy that would pitch this insane combination. And of course, since Frank is doing it, I'm sure it's going to be maybe not so much for the younger audience. He does tend to do a lot of violent stuff with heavy language, but I'm excited to see what this is about. And it's got Deathstroke going after these, going to Yellowstone Park and meeting up with Yogi Bear there to investigate these, campers that have been kidnapped. This looks really interesting. All these books, of course, are $4.99. They're 48 page one shots. And I mean, they're all rated teen. I hope that the Deathstroke book is not rated teen, but we'll see. Maybe they can get away with some more stuff, on the teen rating than they used to. And All these books will also be going on sale on Halloween Day, October 31st. So put this on your pull list now. I'm super stoked. These are absolutely fantastic. DC did a whole batch of them last year. There's been already a batch this year, and now we're getting some more at the end of the year. These are really, really fun reads, and I hope that you all are picking them up. Final bit of news I want to talk about is the new line of What If books that Marvel's going to be putting out. And I'm going to say one thing about this. I talked about the What If books a few weeks ago, and I can't remember what it was in relation to, but I talked quite a bit about them and some of the ones that I really enjoyed, like the Inhumans What If that came out. And these came out, I guess, in the 70s and 80s maybe. I know they tried to do a couple through the decades, and they weren't as successful. These are all one-shots. There's going to be, let's see, 2, 4, 6 different books. And, you know, one thing that I had hoped was, instead of doing these 6 one-shots, I wish they would have done it as like a mini series, or maybe try an ongoing again. And this might be a test bed to see how it goes, right? Maybe they'll do these 6 one shots. If they do well, they'll bring back an actual What If title. Although, you know, the thing is, numbering doesn't really matter much anymore in comics. So I guess it really doesn't matter. I just feel like I would have liked to see these all together, and then you have like a nice trade collection afterwards of all these What If books. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty excited for some of these more than others. The first one that was announced is What If Spider-Man number 1. This is written by Jerry Conway with art by Diego Olortegui and covered by Patch Serger. And this is coming out October 3rd. It's basically What If Flash Thompson Became Spider-Man. All right, that's cool. I'm not a huge Flash Thompson fan, so whatever. But I think the creative team is pretty interesting, so I'll be picking this one up. One that I'm very excited for is What If Magic number 1. And this is What If Magic decided that she was kind of done with the whole having powers thing. You know, she grew up in limbo. She's been aged and de-aged, and she was part demon and part not demon, and she's a mutant. And she's got magic powers, but maybe not magic powers. And she's got a brother, and maybe not a brother. I don't know. There's so many things that have been done with magic. And I love magic. Magic's actually one of my, I think, top 3 Marvel mutants. The list, by the way, if you're not keeping track, is Emma Frost as number 1. And then way down the line at number 2 is Blink. And then 3 is Magic. I love all those characters. And I'm happy to see that Magic's getting her own story here. I pretty much buy anything that Magic is in. Same with Blink, same with Emma Frost. And, like, I'm reading, what's the book that's coming out now? Exiles. That's got Blink in it. And it's kind of like hashtag not my Blink, but, I'm still enjoying the book. It's just not really what I hoped it would be. And I think maybe some of that has to do with more the supporting cast than Blink itself or herself. Plus, that book also has Kang the Conqueror in it, which is quite possibly my favorite Marvel villain. I'm pretty sure it is. I've been going back and picking up quite a few back issues of stories that feature Kang the Conqueror, going all the way back to the 60s. But, Exiles is an interesting book. But back to What If Magic. And, this is written by Leah Williams with art by Felipe Andrada and covers by Jeff DeCall. And I love Jeff DeCall. So, anytime he does a cover, I try to pick it up. I think his art style is absolutely beautiful. And, of course I love magic, so I will be picking this up. Well, it's a little odd, but I'm intrigued based on the way that this was kind of discussed in the announcement. What If Ghost Rider number 1, written by Sebastian Gerner with art by Casper Wingrod and covered by Alexei Brickalt. And this is, I'm trying to figure out how to make sense of this announcement. It's kind of like if Ghost Rider was in a Nordic black metal band, what kind of craziness that would bring about. I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. I mean, the cover's got Robbie Reyes is going to be the Ghost Rider here, by the way. The cover's got Robbie playing a heavy metal guitar on top of a car. I don't know. Something about this is really enticing to me, and I don't know what it is. You know, like I said, the way that this is described is really weird. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can read it yourself, but I'm excited to read it. I know maybe this might be some people's not Ghost Rider, but you know what? It's a What If story, so it's fine. You know, deal with it. What If Thor number 1 is, I think, one of the most straightforward ones out of all of these. This is written by Ethan Sachs with art by Michelle Bandini and covers by Marco Cecchetto. And this is basically the reverse of the Thor and Loki story. So what if Odin lost to the Frost Giants and Thor was adopted by the Frost Giants instead of Loki being adopted by Odin. I think it's pretty interesting. I'm going to pick it up, see what it's about. But I think out of all of these, this is the most straightforward for sure. What If Punisher number one is written by Carl Potts with art by Juan Ramirez and covers by Christopher Stevens. And this is basically what if Peter Parker, after Uncle Ben is killed, becomes the Punisher. All right, why not? I mean, the cover looks cool, so I'll be checking this out. The one that I was most interested on is What If X-Men number one. And this is centered mostly on Cable and Domino. And they're slightly different characters here. They're U Cable and U Domino. And I'll get to that in a second. This is kind of an alt-reality X-Men story where it seems like it's very much centered on, like, cyberspace, right? On, like, the internet and controlling technology. Instead of people being born with the X gene, they're born with the X gene. And what is the difference? X is spelled .exe. And those of you computer nerds will know that, you know, programs on Windows, for example, all end in .exe. So that's how you know it's an executable file. And so these people that have the X-E gene, we'll just call it the X-E gene to make it easier, can kind of circumvent the login regulations into this digital wonderland that basically everything takes place in. So a little bit like Ready Player One, I see a lot of similarities in some of the stuff that was been played with in like Aphrodite and Cyberforce and stuff like that. And of course, Brian Edward Hill has done a lot of work in that Top Cow universe, so it makes perfect sense to me. But this is really intriguing, and I wonder how it's going to play out. I'm definitely going to check this out. Like, I love anything that Brian Edward Hill does. By the way, he's writing the book. I know I didn't say that. The art is Neil Edwards and Giannis Milogiannis, who has the greatest name of all comic book artists, with covers by Raza. And I'm excited for this one. The end of this says, the most life-changing comic since Venom number one. Of course, I love Venom number one, so I'm all in on that. But yeah, really excited for What If X-Men. And of course, this is the EXE Men too, by the way. The .exe slash men. And I can't wait to see what kind of shenanigans Brian Edward Hill brings about in this book. That's going to wrap it up for the news. Of course, this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con, so there will be a plethora of new book announcements. I know, for example, Marvel's already teased an X-Men Black with Magneto helming the team. They've also teased the Ghost Spider book, which is, I guess, what they're calling Gwen Spider now, or Gwenpool, whatever they call her. She's going to be called Ghost Spider, and I like that. There's also been teased a Dr. Octopus book, The Superior Octopus, which I'm extremely excited about because I love Superior Spider-Man. I think Superior Spider-Man was my favorite Spider-Man book of the past, like, at least 10 or 15 years, if not longer. Very excited for that. So be on the lookout for all the announcements. I'm not sure if I'll do episodes this weekend. I may do a San Diego Comic-Con recap probably on Monday and move the top of the pile over to Tuesday instead. We'll see how that goes. I'll let you guys know on Twitter. You can follow me at Geekvine, or if you want to get in touch with me via email, nerdlegion@gmail.com. All right, it is time for the Comic Predictor, because tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, and I'm sure some of you want to pick up some new books, maybe. And I have quite a few recommendations for you. First on the list is Archie Meets Batman 66 number one, and you're saying to yourself, what in the world? And yes, it's true. It's finally happening. I think this is a perfect combination. It's being written by Jeff Parker with art by Dan Parent, with covers by Mike Allred. And I mean, I really want to get this for the cover alone, to be honest. Batman 66, I don't know. The comics don't entice me as much as the TV series did. You know, I'm a big Batman fan, but I'm more about the in-canon stuff than all the offshoots. But this looks really fun. Looks really fun. And it, of course, the first time that Archie and Batman are kind of teaming up like this, and look forward to seeing how that goes. I think Dan Parent's a great artist, by the way. And I don't know what the deal was with him and Archie. I know he had left and then he came back, and I guess he's still doing stuff there. But check out Die Kitty Die. It's a book that he does. Usually they kickstart it once a year, they do the books. And I think all those are brilliant. I think the third one is shipping out to Kickstarter backers now. So there's not a current one, but you can pick it up. There's a publisher that's putting him out. Who is putting that out? Chapter House Comics is putting out the Die Kitty Die after the Kickstarter backers get all their stuff. So definitely check that out if you get a chance. If you head on over to DC, there's a book that I never thought I'd see. and that is Injustice versus the Masters of the Universe, number 1 of 6. This is written by Tim Seeley with art by Freddie Williams II, and I love everything about this. I just recently started reading Injustice. I'm really digging it so far. I know I haven't talked about it, but I really dig it. Of course, I grew up watching the Masters of the Universe cartoon. I love the super crappy movie. In fact, I just saw that He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie with Dolph Lundgren, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, just out of the blue. I was like, I'm going to watch this. And it's super corny, but it's still awesome. It does not hold up, but it's still awesome. And I'm excited for this. It seems like an odd combination, but I think a combination that could be really interesting. And basically it has Prince Adam joining up with Superman and the Injustice League to kind of defeat his enemies and take back the throne of Eternia. So, whatever. I don't care what the plot is. This sounds freaking awesome. I love Tim Seeley. I love Freddie Williams' art. So I'm all into this one as well. And that's going to be from DC Comics. Another one from DC, a book that I have to talk about every time it comes out because I want everyone to be reading this book. It's The Wildstorm number 15, written by Warren Ellis, art by John Davis Hunt. We're getting back to Mark Slayton here, who showed up in the book 2 issues ago. And super crazy dude. I love everything about this book. I'm going to quit talking about it. Just go pick up The Wildstorm number 15. If we head on over to Image, The Magic Order number 2 is out. This is, of course, Mark Miller with art by Olivia Koppel. And I really dug the first issue. I'm excited to talk about the second one. And I think this might be my favorite Mark Miller book that he's ever done. And maybe that doesn't say a lot because generally I don't really like a lot of his stuff. But I thought the way that the first issue was set up was really interesting. Because it did something new with a magic universe that we don't often see, right? And I think it's basically a mob story. And I love mob stories. So I want that to continue. And I want to dive deep into this world because I think it's fascinating. And I can't wait to see how this comes out in film or TV, however Netflix is doing it. I'm really excited to see that in live action. Heading over to Marvel, Life of Captain Marvel, number 1 of 5. And I think the this is really interesting that they're doing this book now because the filming on the Captain Marvel movie just wrapped up. And so we're not going to see this for quite a while. I'm surprised that they're doing an origin story for Captain Marvel now instead of waiting till maybe they put out a trailer at least maybe. Or getting ready to put out a trailer. I don't know. It's been written by Margaret Stoll with art by Carlos Pacheco, who is brilliant. And this book looks beautiful, by the way. I'm not sure who did the cover. I'm going to assume Pacheco did, but I'm not quite sure on that. And this is going to be an interesting one. It's a 5-issue miniseries telling the whole story of Captain Marvel and how she became, or Carol Danvers and how she became Captain Marvel. It's a $4.99 book and it's 5 issues, so you know, that might be a little tough for some of you, to dedicate $25 to the series, but, I'm excited to read it. I'm actually considering going back and reading some of the early Captain Marvel stuff. Marvel, I guess maybe is how you pronounce it, when it was the Kree Captain Marvel, but I'm excited to read this one. I haven't been following Carol Danvers' antics, really. I know she shows up in some books and like in Avengers, for example, things like that. I'll read those stories, but I haven't read like just a Captain Marvel book in a very long time, and I'm excited to dive into this. I think Marvel's doing some really interesting stuff lately, by the way, and I'll probably have Aaron on. I don't know if we'll do it this week. It might be a couple weeks before we can get to it, but I want to have him on and talk about the stuff that Marvel's doing because just like myself, he's not the biggest Marvel fan, but I think we're both really digging the universe right now, so look forward to that conversation whenever it comes out. Back to Image from Top Cow. We've got Brian Edward Hill and Jeff Spokes doing Aphrodite 5, number 1. And I love the Top Cow universe. Okay, I do. I read all the books. Witchblade right now is freaking brilliant. It is the most different Witchblade story ever, and it's just fantastic. I think it's like 5 issues in, and we just now finally saw the Witchblade, which is just great storytelling. Of course, Cyber Force is coming out. I think that's an issue 4. That's really well done as well. I think Brian Edward Hill co-writes that book. The one book that I'm missing in my life right now is The Darkness, and I hope maybe they announce something at San Diego Comic-Con. But I love the Aphrodite 5 stuff. And I'm trying to think what the book was. The 13th Generation, I think it was called. It had a weird name because it was like the XIII Generation. And that seems like it'd be hard to put on shelves. Cause I know I'd go to my comic shop and some months it'd be like the first book on the shelf, right? On the top row, all the way to the left. And then some months it wouldn't be there. It would be under T because 13. Anyways, I really do love Aphrodite 5. There's a few Aphrodite models and, they are all very much intertwined with Top Cow history, in particular in relation to the Cyberforce universe. So she's popped in a lot in there and has really changed quite a bit when Top Cow started rebooting all their stuff. Even when Silvestri did, I want to say it was a Kickstarter a few years ago, a lot of the story was really driven by the future that Aphrodite comes from. So I'm really excited to see what this new book is about. I think Brian Edward Hill is a brilliant writer, and I can't get enough of his stuff. You know, I talked about Detective Comics, which I think is fantastic. You know, Cyberforce, Aphrodite. He's got the What If that I just talked about. I hope we get to see a lot more of him. And I want this Outsider book. So DC, please announce that this weekend. I'll be very happy. I'll plop down my money for you. Final book on the list is going to be Euthanauts number 1. This is from IDW Publishing, and this is part of their Black Crown imprint. This is written by Tinny Howard with art by Nick Robles. And, you know, she's already doing a book over at Black Crown, Assassinistas, and it's a little comedic, a little more lighthearted. This one looks like it's going to be quite a bit darker. And basically it's about a group of explorers that decide to go explore the afterlife, I guess we could say. Explore what the meaning of death is and what happens to us after we die. Some of the preview pages look absolutely fantastic. And, it looks like there's going to be a lot of like shamanic stuff and magic and, could be really interesting. I want to see how this kind of book is handled because, you know, based on the stuff that I've seen and heard about this book, it seems like it's something very unique. And I like that, you know, a publisher like Black Crown is willing to try such different type of stories. And I don't know how well this is going to do sales-wise, but I think in terms of people like myself who just love comics and read so many comics, I think this may be something to watch out for. So I want to put it on everyone's radar. If you pick it up, though, let me know what you think. And I think it's going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening. Of course, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, so I hope you got your list ready. I hope your shop's got your stuff for you, or DCBS, or Comixology, or wherever you get your books. I will be back tomorrow. I'll be talking about some of the stuff that I discussed on yesterday's episode about Die, 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 and kind of interesting marketing strategies on pushing books and trying new things for publishers, what can work, what won't work. And maybe I'll get into some of the pull list stuff that I've been teasing. Not a whole lot, because I want to do a full episode on my thoughts on fixing the pull list, but I hope you'll enjoy tomorrow's episode. My guest this week, well, I'm not going to announce it yet. It's a secret. But you'll find out on Thursday. Thank you all for listening. Of course, you can get in touch with me on Twitter @GeekBond, nerdlygen@gmail.com is the email address. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you tomorrow.